All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseballs, the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox!
I have to possess this comic!
Baseball's the breakfast cereal!
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis?
Baseball's the coloring book!
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
This is Geek Stuff, episode 61. What are we calling this one, Fantastic?
Another one without Kev?
It's crazy. Just disappeared.
I've been getting so many good emails.
Yeah.
Great feedback.
Love the show?
People love it.
That's awesome.
Hey, wait, what?
I'm right here.
What the hell are you doing there? When did you get back?
I didn't go anywhere. I just didn't have anything to add.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Just nothing to say.
What? There was, you know, guys had it covered pretty well. I just sat back and I watched. You know, I'm more of a king maker than a king.
Yeah.
But
king.
So
king. So this episode would be the return of the king?
Yeah. Okay. That's a literary reference.
It's a geek reference.
That's good that we happen to be using the Lord of the Rings music as we open this episode. Doesn't seem at all contrived or planned. Not one bit of it.
Not a little itty bit.
So, what's been going on?
A little of this. Well, you were there. You know exactly what's been going on. Why don't you give us a quick recap of the last two episodes?
All I know is that Mr. Fantabulous made an excellent, excellent spot for Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Fantabulous?
Yeah.
Father of Fantastic and Fabulous.
He clearly hasn't even heard it yet because he refers to himself multiple times as Daddy Fantastic.
And oh, really?
He seems to really, really enjoy it.
Daddy Fantastic?
He does.
That's interesting.
I kept saying, we don't want a voice. And he kept saying, well, what about this voice? And, like, you know, his voice changed throughout the whole thing.
Right.
And he's, it's just, that's his real voice.
That's interesting. Hey, you know what I found out while I was on hiatus?
In the studio?
Yes.
What?
I found out about the person who plays Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Do you know how to pronounce his name? You know, we always call him Ian Gifford because we don't know. So, Entertainment Weekly had one of them little box things.
Right.
And they had the phonetic pronunciation of his name.
And it is?
Johan Griffith.
Wait, what?
Isn't it? Johan Griffith.
Okay. So Johan, I can almost kind of go with.
Yeah.
Kind of go with it. You can kind of see it. But how do you go from Grufford to Griffith?
He's Welsh.
Is that supposed to sum it up?
I don't know.
Yeah, all the letters have like different sounds and shapes and things. Well, sounds. I guess same shapes.
The different shapes is Russian.
Is there a
No.
It?
No.
No.
It's Welsh, letter, not Middle right? Eastern.
I don't know. I knew someone who was taking Russian once, and I looked in their textbook, and there's a letter that clearly looks like a Christmas tree. I'm not even lying. I don't know how it sounds or where you use it, but it looks like a Christmas
little Russian
tree.
Kids doing the alphabet going A B C D Christmas tree.
Exactly. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, but you're right. There's like a 3 and a backwards B,
yeah,
and like a reverse L
shit.
And something that's like an umlaut with another L on top of it.
So their alphabet is very interesting. It's a shame they just can't make some of their movies interesting, like Night Watch and Day Watch, which are boring I sin.
What's Night Watch?
It's a boring vampire movie
actually,
that's Russian.
Really? I heard it was pretty good.
You heard wrong.
I've had a boot of it for about 3 years.
I've got both boots of the first two movies in the original Russian with subtitles, and they're both terribly boring. I felt like killing myself.
Huh. They're making another one.
They are. I don't know what it's called. Something else watch.
Afternoon Watch?
Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Starring David Hasselhoff.
They're probably just calling it Don't Watch.
Oh,
that bad.
Oh my God, Kevin, that's a good one.
What?
Ken that's what this piece of glass is for, right? Yeah. Does it act like that now?
We had to have that installed in the studio. So I was about...
Studio A.
Studio A, of course. Where would we be?
I liked Studio F. My chair was much more comfortable.
It's Studio F?
Yeah, it was leather and it was cushy.
You guys had to go to Studio F?
Back. It was wonderful.
Really? See, I really missed a lot. I'd like to take this moment to apologize to the fans that I left you in the hands of these two chuckleheads for two episodes. I apologize.
We have gotten some critical reviews for those two episodes.
Yeah?
I'm saying.
Critical?
Yeah.
Like critical bad or critical good?
No, critical like get rid of that critical toys guy. Those are good episodes.
Oh, really? Is that what they were saying? Oh, that's interesting.
All right, maybe we should actually move on with the episode.
Okay.
We can do the witty banter thing all night long, but, you know, people don't tune in for the
banter.
Well,
one of us can.
When are we going to start the witty banter?
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to start off with a Star Wars-related correction, because Star Wars fans are rabid and get angry quickly, so I just want to address it real quick, but nobody else say anything. I just want to address it, and then we can move on to the rest of the news. Jason from Ohio writes in correction to our discussion for Star Wars Celebration, that they were not every year. They were every 3 years to coincide with the original three prequels. And they were not originally in California either, apparently. I didn't know that.
Okay.
They were in Indiana. So for Star Wars fans out there.
I knew that.
There's the correction. We apologize for episode 57, 56, whenever the hell that was that we discussed it.
Yeah, it's 59.
And
or 60.
No, it wasn't 59 or 60, I don't believe.
Yeah, it was.
I don't think so.
Last one I did was 58.
Oh, so I think it was 58 then.
Wasn't,
I think
we talk about Celebration 58.
I think so.
I don't think so.
Hey, Matt, what else?
Anyway. Sean Connery isn't going to be in the Indiana Jones movie.
See, I don't believe that for a second. I think this is a huge ploy for his ass to hold out for retirement money.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so. He does 20 minutes. They'll give him $20 million, and I mean, I'm sure he'll do it.
You want my personal opinion? He don't even have to do 20 minutes. Like 10 minutes.
And he's dying.
A handful of lines just to address the character as a farewell to the character, as a wrap-up to the series, would be more than enough for Sean Connery. What would he have to be on set? An hour? 2 hours?
Indiana, let me go. Seriously, just let him die.
I don't know. He says that retirement is way too fun.
He's a grumpy old golf player. That's what
Scottish
he is. He is
player.
What? Whatever. He is one of those dudes that you see with the weird outfits. Pretty much, you know, it's pretty much whatever a black guy would wear in the early 70s.
Okay.
Now that old white guy is wearing while he plays golf.
So high-heeled shoes with goldfish in them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Afro.
Might as well. Grumpy old man. No, so I'm out of the Sean Connery
bear.
Fan club. I'm done with him.
He's no longer handsome to Kevin.
That's right. He's old and gray.
Warner Brothers Pictures.
Is there anyone that doesn't do a Sean Connery?
Matt's trying to go on with the rest of the show. Will you let him
do your Sean Connery?
Jesus,
I don't do a Sean Connery. Warner Brothers Pictures has picked up the rights to bring Terry Brooks's fantasy novels Shannara to the big screen,
like the Sword of and the Stone of and the Door of and the House of and the
Shore.
Sure,
I don't actually know much about the series.
I think I read one when I was 12.
It's another big fantasy series that Warner Brothers is going to try to develop for the big screen in the hopes of capturing some of that Lord of the Rings money.
I tried picking one up, but every time I picked a book up, I would think, sha-na-na-na, and I never got anywhere.
Hey, here's an idea of how to capture that Lord of the Rings brilliance. How about doing the fucking Hobbit?
Ooh.
Is that a porn?
Not going to happen with fucking New Line.
Fucking the Hobbit. Very good. I like that.
Fucking the Hobbit. How does one?
Lots of cinder blocks. Anyway, so Peter Jackson, New Line Cinema, not going to do the Hobbit. Not going to happen.
Is that in your news that Peter Jackson, New Line, thing?
Yeah, it's just it's not happening.
Yeah,
there's
because
still no
well,
talks about it.
That's
Peter
fine.
Jackson's moving on. He's doing another book adaptation, I believe.
Yep.
Lovely Bones. Is
while
that
the while the rights to the Hobbit slip away from New Line, and as soon as they do, and they go back to Warner Brothers or whoever the hell is supposed to have them, they're going to start production immediately with Peter Jackson.
With Peter Jackson at the helm.
That's what I'm saying is going to happen.
Sure.
And after Spider-Man 3, fucking obviously Raimi needs a nap.
Right. So while we're talking about sequels, Spider-Man 3 and the future of that shite, and hopefully The Hobbit maybe, there has been some news that Shrek will continue. So yeah. And that's not Shrek spinoffs, which we know are in the works. That's just the Shrek franchise. There will be a Shrek 4.
Okay.
Exactly.
Didn't see Shrek 3.
I still haven't seen it either, although I admittedly do want to. I just figure I'll wait for it to come out on DVD.
Shrek.
Okay, how about Samuel L. Jackson is being cast as the mysterious villain in the Spirit movie?
Really? That strikes me as odd, him being black.
Why villains can't be black?
Well, it's like a 40s noir kind of thing. I mean, unless they're going to update
it. I'm sure they're going to update it a little bit. I mean, you know.
All right, I don't know.
Frank Miller.
I guess.
He's ingenious. He'll find a way to do it. But yeah, he's being cast as the mysterious villain, and that's what they're calling him so far. I don't think he's to be named. I don't know that he has any tie into villains from the original series, just mysterious.
Actually,
villain.
I happen to know what the villain's name is.
Mr. Glass.
So why don't you just take my whole fucking
day? Yes!
I'll never see the light of day in this episode.
I rule!
I don't get it, either way.
Unbreakable?
Shyamalan? Yeah. See, there's backstory that you got to know about there, and... What else you got?
Warner Brothers is also doing a Thundercats movie.
Really?
Yep.
Like now, animated or live action?
Now, when it first came out, everybody was reporting it as live action, which I just thought was going to be atrocious. We actually talked about this last week, Fantastic. I had lots of hesitation towards this. Warner Brothers has since come out and corrected that and said it will be CGI. Full CGI. That I can almost see working. That I think is a little bit more feasible. In the realm of TMNT, maybe somewhere in there, kind of dark.
Yeah. Look, hasn't it been
fun?
Hasn't it been like 20 years since that was on TV?
Yeah, but everything old is new again.
So what are they going to do? They're going to retell the origin story? Is that what it's going to be?
I don't know. There's no story, no script development yet. But
what's original and good these days? Can we do like a top 10, or even if it's just a top 5 that we can get going?
Why don't we pitch
original
it out?
Stories,
why don't we pitch
original
it out to
series?
The audience, Mr. Fantastic? Why don't you go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com right now, you lovely audience, you, and drop us a line. Can they do it on the forums yet? The forums back?
No, the forums have been disbanded because it was a haven for terrorists.
Oh, well, we don't haven terrorists here. So go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com, drop us a line, let us know what you think is the best original thing happening right now in the realm of science fiction, fantasy, and, just generally ideas, I guess. Because, I mean, if the best we have to look forward to is a fucking CGI Thundercats movie, maybe we should just pack it in.
What are we gonna be? I don't think that's the best thing we have to look forward to.
All right, what's the best thing we have to look forward to?
I don't know, but I don't think that's
FF2? FF2?
No.
And
That's practically
Iron Man,
here at this point.
The Iron Man movie?
Iron Man looks halfway decent so far.
Another fucking Harry Potter?
Batman?
That we got?
What about Batman?
All right, fine. Fine. Batman, fine.
What about...
Even that's not original. It's just them rehashing it again.
Speaking of rehashes.
Yeah.
What about William Hurt being cast in the Incredible Hulk remake?
Is this an April Fool's joke?
As what?
Thunderbolt Ross.
Really?
Yep.
That's a shame because that was fucking perfect casting last time with Sam Elliott.
I'm guessing that they're not going to use anybody from the original cast for fear that it might bring bad luck upon the film.
But don't they do that didn't they do that in the Batman films? Like they changed everybody but Alfred? Wasn't Alfred the same for a good number of them?
No, Commissioner Gordon was the same.
Really? Through all those movies in the 90s?
Yeah.
80s, 90s?
But you have to remember, this isn't really a sequel. This is almost a redo.
Marvel is actually running a promotional tie-in. It's a big shaded picture of the Hulk, and it says the Hulk is going to be in a Marvel movie. Are you? Like, they've never done a Hulk movie before. I love the fact that they're saying it's like the first Hulk movie. It's almost like ignoring Halloween 3, the season of the witch, when they four. Or pretty much any of those other ones where they want you to ignore the previous films, you know, like Superman. And you can be in a Marvel movie. What's better than seeing a Marvel movie? Being in a Marvel movie, really? Is it? I don't think so. Enter the Be in a Marvel Movie sweepstakes, and you could win a walk-on role of a lifetime in an upcoming Marvel Studios movie. Whoopee-doo-dah. I'd be in a crowd scene in a Hulk movie. Well, color me fucking happy.
Green.
Yeah, green. Ugh. Stupid Hulk movie.
2 weeks off, and that's all you bring to us?
No, I got
that
plenty.
That dumbass contest?
How about DC's finally going to release The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Black Dossier.
Ooh.
It's scheduled for October 24th release. The book was originally scheduled in 06, but it got pushed back so that Kevin O'Neill and Alan Moore could do the book exactly the way that they want to do it. It's going to have a Tijuana Bible, a 3D section with custom glasses, and a lot of text, maps, and the big thing that everyone's talking about, a cutaway double-page spread of Captain Nemo's Nautilus submarine.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like it's going to be
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a really nice package. So, check that out, October 24th.
Well, since you've brought up comic books, there is some rumor, speculation, and talkings about Veronica Mars being continued in comic book format, much the same way that they're trying to continue the Buffy books with season 8, and they're talking about doing Angel season 6. In comic book format as well. So it looks like for the fans of Veronica Mars out there, they might do a final season in comic book form. DC is trying to pull that off.
Did you hear about that TV show Jericho?
That got canceled and been revived.
People sent 50,000 pounds of peanuts to CBS. And so they're going to make 7 more episodes of Jericho, if you're a Jericho fan out there, and they're going to air those. And then if those ratings are good, possibly another 22-episode season.
Pretty intense.
I never seen the show, but it must have quite a fan base to be spending, you know, to be sending 50,000 pounds of peanuts or whatever the hell it was over to CBS. Damn.
So is that what we have to do?
Send peanuts? What would we send for Serena? Well, nothing, because no matter what, Fox ain't going to take it back. So they're never going to take that show. That show.
Firefly.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me.
Right, there it is. I missed that.
Aw. Brings you back a little, doesn't it?
Does. All the way back to episode 58. Mike Oeming, our dear friend and friend, has a concept book that he says that he put together long before he even did Powers, which really was the book that broke him,
right.
Called Mice Templar. Mice Templar. And for those of you that know Mike and have seen his work and seen him at cons and stuff, it's kind of like something he did a long time ago. Now, of course, he has a little sketchbook kind of version that he has at shows, which is very cool. I have it. It's awesome. And it looks like it's going to go ahead and be the series that they wanted it to be a long time ago. I guess based on the popularity of
Mouse Guard.
I guess. I mean, they say the books are entirely different, and which I find very interesting. In fact, it's being said that Mouse Guard is more like the Chronicles of Narnia, and Templar is like Lord of the Rings. Which I find an interesting comparison, okay. Because I fucking hate Narnia, and I thought Mouse Guard was awesome.
Yeah, I really liked Mouse Guard, too.
So David Peterson, there's no way, Mike Oeming has confirmed there's no way that David Peterson could have known anything about Mice Templar and stuff. And you know, there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of talk when Mice Templar was solicited that, oh, here, you know, jumping on the tails, blah, 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 because it was very, Mouse Guard, very popular book.
Right.
I'm already mixing them up, Mice Guard. Mouse Guard was a very popular book, and now here comes Oeming with Mice Templar and blah, blah, blah. But nope, the books are separate. They're two different styles of stories. They're, you know, they happen to contain mice that carry swords.
Well, both of them kind of, to me, have the feeling of a popular novel series that's been around way longer than both of those, I guess, Redwall.
Right, and they say that they say that there's also similarities to the Redwall novels, but it's not an imitation. And Mike Oeming says that they made sure that they read all of those books before they started, you know, to kind of flesh out Mice Templar, so that they weren't doing any, you know, any kind of crossover mix up kind of stuff. And those really are children's books. You know, these books are not really like that. Mike Oeming says, we have more in common with Star Wars, Secret of Nim, and Watership Down than Redwall. Yeah. Which means they're definitely shooting for an older audience,
right,
especially by including the great novel Watership Down in there.
Right.
So, check out Mice Templar. Number one is going to be a 50-page comic priced at $3.99.
Wow, that's really good.
Actually, I know. They really want to do
it. Page for price. That's good.
That's good. It's from Image, and you can look for it in August or early September.
Let's move on to some other TV-related news. First, the sad news. The bad news. I cried a little. Not going to lie.
You're a big girl, so.
Mr. Wizard died. Nothing? Nobody? Mr. Wizard? You don't remember Mr. Wizard?
No,
fantastic.
Sorry.
Do you remember Mr. Wizard? Please tell me.
I made my first hair hygrometer with directions given to me by Don Herbert, the Mr. Wizard.
Well, at the ripe old age of 89, Mr. Herbert passed away yesterday.
That's very sad.
That's very sad. Mr. Wizard was an important part of my childhood, and many people's childhood, I think. That show was great. Well, you were a child, you know.
I have a Mr. Wizard DVD.
Know, years before.
A real one.
Do you?
A DVD? Yeah. I didn't think they put those out on DVD.
There's something like 1,000 episodes. There's a huge number of episodes, and the DVDs have select episodes.
That's all right. How many DVDs are there? Do you know?
No, I think I have like number eight or something like that.
Oh, wow. I got to find out who puts those out. I might be interested in picking some of those up. Okay, well, that's it. So, Mr. Herbert passed away. It's very sad. For those of you who are a fan of that show, it's a great loss. But we will move on, like we always do. Supergirl, going to be making an appearance on Smallville.
Oh, boy.
One of our good listeners, a Mr. Smith, wrote in to tell me all about it. She's going to be on it next season. Kara is Clark's 19-year-old cousin, born on Krypton, the daughter of Zor-El, Jor-El's brother. Kara also has superpowers, including one that Clark has yet to develop, the ability to fly, which I find very interesting because I thought they were never going to do flying on that show.
I got to ask, going back a couple episodes, this ain't Paris Hilton, is it?
Oh, no, Jesus Christ. I still hope that's an April Fool's joke. No, actually, I don't know who's going to be playing her.
Maybe they haven't cast her yet.
I'd be pretty surprised if she's going to be making an appearance next season if she hasn't been cast yet. But well, I suppose it's possible that they're trying to keep it a secret. But I think the important part of this, more so than the fact that she is going to be included in the show, because it's inevitable, but the fact that they're giving her the ability to fly, when one of Smallville's tenets was that no one on the show would fly. I mean, specifically Clark. So if you're not going to have Superman fly, why would you have Supergirl fly? It just seems kind of silly to me.
Well, that's kind of the tenet of that show, isn't it? What silly ways can we make these characters look on TV?
I guess. I don't know.
I like Lois and Clark better than this show.
I liked Lois and Clark. You know, I've only watched a handful of episodes of Smallville. They're okay. It was never enough to really pull me in, but the fan base of Smallville is huge. I mean, those are some dedicated people.
Smallville,
they really love
90210.
Everything is 90210 with you.
These teen
Smallville
angsty
Creek
things.
Or something stupid.
Smallville Creek. Dawson's Smallville.
Have you been watching Pirate Master?
I have. The show, I gotta say, I was hoping you guys hadn't talked about this
yet. I've been saving it.
As you may or may not know, I am a big fan of Survivor.
Right.
I never miss an episode. I've watched every season, and I am always so excited by the show. I'm always excited to see it. I'm always excited of how it ends and who wins. The last two seasons particularly have been awesome.
Right.
I mean, right down to the wire, such an awesome. It really is the best of the best. Mark Burnett is the producer of that show. Also is now producing
Pirate Master. Okay.
Which I have to say, I'm so middle of the road on that I can't even sit here and tell you that I love it or I hate it. Because there are some moments when I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. And there are other moments when I'm like, I want to kill myself.
Okay. I like it. I don't love it. By no means do I love it. But I like it. I think there are some unique things about it. I think the idea of a captain and the crew is very unique and very different from what you've seen on a lot of these reality type shows. Normally you see two definitive teams the entire time. And while there certainly are teams during the course of the show, when they're not out doing excursions, there is a captain and his two shipmates, and the rest of them are swabbing the deck and running the sails.
And the captain
the anchor.
Who gets half of the fucking
half
booty.
Of the booty. And he gets the good food. The rest of the crew is eating gruel. I mean, like, there really are some parts of it that are pretty cool and pretty interesting. Enough for me to be brought back in each week to watch it. I like the mutiny concept, although it hasn't successfully been pulled off yet.
Right.
It's going to happen eventually because the guy that's a captain is just a dick. But I don't know. I like it.
Jodan?
Yeah,
is that
Jodan.
His name? Jodan or something?
I think it has the potential to be pretty good.
So from a game and strategy standpoint, I agree with you because that sort of interplay and they really captured something about pirates. Here's what I hate.
Okay.
The kitschy, Disneyized version of skeletons and swords sticking out of skeletal bodies whenever they go on the excursions.
Okay.
And I hate that shit.
You know
shit.
What?
It's like they're adventuring at fucking Disneyland. That's what it's like.
Here's the problem. Here's the problem. I accept that shit. Much the way I accept things in movies because I understand why they have to do them for film, they have to do that for TV, for that show. Because without that stuff, you lose a large portion of your casual pirate fan.
Right.
You have to have that over-the-top fantasy, you know, skull and crossbones.
Yeah, everything with a skull and crossbones.
Yeah, you have
it.
To have that. Otherwise, the casual viewer is not going to watch it. So I accept it for the sake of the show. They haven't completely and totally rubbed it in your face yet because the excursion stuff or that part of the show really is so short. I mean, you're talking about an hour-long show, so you're talking about, 42 minutes maybe of actual showtime, and maybe about 10 minutes of that time is these actual little excursions, but the rest of the show really is about, as awful as this may sound, but life on the ship, you know, and what's going on and the dynamic between the crew and the captain. And I think from that aspect, I can appreciate it. I'm going to be interested to see how it progresses, if a mutiny gets pulled off, and if it has a future past a single season. But I don't know. It's not terrible. I mean, as far as reality shows goes, it's certainly not the worst, but it's certainly not the best.
Right. There's as we know, we are now in the reveal your exclusives for San Diego Comic-Con time frame here.
Okay.
And there's a couple of interesting ones from Hasbro that I wanted to mention.
Okay.
Mr. Fantastic might be interested in the two different Destros, one in a gold head and one in a silver head with some sort of weird costume that I've never seen before. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
These are Sigma 6 figures?
No, they're the regular ones. Sigma 6, I think, is done.
No, really?
And I'm sorry, what scale were these figures?
Let me see.
These are the 3 3/4.
3 3/4, I think. Okay.
Let me see.
See? He's kind of purple and red, and he's got like a leopard print collar and on his thighs. And
that leopard print collar one was, I believe, a pre-production or prototype that was somehow released to the public. The older one, there was a paint pattern that was released. And that's become, the original version has become something that's like, you know, super, super rare. So I think that's a take on that.
Okay. In addition to that, there it says here that they're going to be doing a Marvel Legends She-Hulk that has removable clothing. So she has kind of her lawyer gear and her lawyer bag and some.
Oh, and then she goes into the white jumper?
Actually, no. She goes into the Fantastic Four jumper. As you know, she was, may or may not know, she was a member of the Fantastic Four for a brief, brief period of time.
Speaking of Hasbro.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
I ain't done, son. They also have Marvel Legends Stan Lee action figure.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it kind of looks like Stan, if Stan had some slick back hair. Because you know he's got that grayish bush up there
now?
Well,
it's kind of slick.
He looks like slickish.
Fantastic. Pass that over to me. I got to see this.
The slickish.
You know what? The slicked back portion of it isn't a problem. I think the problem is that it's too short. If it was a little bushier, maybe it'd be all right. Because he does do the brush back thing.
He's got the bushy ass hair.
It's too short. Yeah, it's too short.
Maybe that's a prototype that we're looking at, not the actual one yet. Also, it looks like the Ralph McQuarrie, Obi-Wan, and Yoda will be part of their exclusives as well. And, of course, this whole Ralph McQuarrie designed characters thing is really, really becoming, very popular. They also have, another Star Wars piece, they have the 501st Legion R2-KT.
Yes.
Which is kind of the pink... Mm-hmm. R2 unit, and actually the money that you spend on those would be $10, will go actually to the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, so a variety of exclusives coming from Hasbro for San Diego Comic-Con, which is very cool. We should say that from here on out until we go to San Diego, we will be telling you all about the San Diego exclusives.
We sure will.
So just to round out Hasbro, there's also a Titanium Menasor, and Alternator Rodimus Prime.
Yep.
Battlestar Titanium 3-pack, which is 3 ships from, I guess, Battlestar Galactica. Well, they're obviously from Battlestar Galactica. There's also a My Little Pony.
Ooh.
San Diego exclusive. Which
I want that one.
I think is interesting. And, they're all very affordable. You can only get these for a decent price at Comic-Con. And for at least 2 to 3 times that price after Comic-Con.
So we talked about this last week, but I don't know if you heard. Did you hear there is another Unleashed figure? The ARC Trooper?
No.
They're doing an ARC Trooper. We talked about this last episode, so I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Well,
I didn't hear about it. That's why I'm bringing it up for you.
Was there a picture?
There is a picture from last week's episode.
No.
It's a repaint, resculpt of the clone trooper. That one where the dead clone trooper is on the ground and he's stepping on him, but the head is changed. So it's got the ARC Trooper head.
Okay.
It's got the big ARC Trooper grapple gun. It's very nice.
Oh, cool.
It's very nice.
Where is that, an exclusive somewhere? Or?
It is an exclusive. Actually, another listener, Leo from New Jersey, told us it is an online exclusive, which I think we confirmed last week. I had said that it was going to also be a store distributed to stores through Diamond, but I don't think that's correct any longer. It might just be an online retailer exclusive.
I know exactly where that's exclusive to Toy Mike.
Yeah, well.
Because that's where I'll be getting it.
I'm sure. But while you were talking about the Stan Lee figure, let's talk about Stan Lee just a little bit more to say that Stan Lee has signed a deal with, guess.
Marvel.
No. Guess.
DC.
No. Guess.
Frank Miller.
No. Disney.
Okay.
He's going to be developing a series of animated shorts based on original characters that he claims he has had for years in his archive of characters for Disney.
Okay.
That's all.
Why not? Let him work till the day he dies, which could be any day now.
You never know.
Does that article give you an age? If he's not 106, I'd be surprised. Because he just...
106, huh?
I mean, the man is old.
He's old. I'm about 106.
Fantastic. Can you find out how old Stan Lee is? You could probably find it on imdb.com.
Well, while he's looking that up,
he's done so many films, as we know.
Why don't we do some DVD news?
Okay.
Ghost Rider came out this week.
It did.
A full screen version, a widescreen version, and an extended 2-disc version.
Yes, because you want to see every bit of this shit.
Every drop of it. And I also have confirmation on something that we had speculated a little bit before in the past. Grindhouse, when it comes to DVD, at least for the initial release, it will be separated. It will be Death Proof, and it will be Planet Terror.
It's a dumb idea.
It is a dumb idea, but my guess is that somewhere between 3 and 6 months later, they will do the Uber Deluxe, package it together with something fancy and shiny.
Did they do that for Kill Bill, where they put it back together as one film?
Actually, for Kill Bill, they never officially released it as one film. A couple of places had it packaged exclusively together, and it came with a little replica of her sword.
Really?
But that's it. They never put out like some sort of special slipcase edition or a hardcover edition or
maybe they will.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, Grindhouse definitely going to be separated, which is completely and totally pointless, in my opinion.
Also on DVD, Hellboy animated second feature, Blood and Iron.
Right, Iron Butterfly. No.
Yes, featuring the voice talents of Ron Perlman, Selma Blair, John Hurt, and Doug Jones.
Well, Doug Jones has to get his voice in there somewhere because God knows it gets cut from everything else.
I just thought it was really, really funny.
Poor Doug.
It's widescreen, of course. It's got a bunch of extras and features. And, you got to dig the Hellboy animated style. They're really making the most of the character. And the designs are great. The animation, the storytelling, of course, is all top-notch. And speaking of Hellboy animated, coming out this week in your comic book stores would be the second Hellboy animated book, if you will, The Judgment Bell.
Ooh.
Volume 2 of the Hellboy animated
in that little
series.
Digest format.
I like the digest format.
I like that too.
And
very nice.
It's very nice.
I like.
It's very nice. $6.95. Go to darkhorse.com. You can check that out.
Can we talk about the Church of England?
Okay. Sure.
Mr. Fantastic, you've had to have read this by now, right? Sony in a battle with the Church of England? You don't know about this? Am I breaking this to you?
I don't know. Keep
is
going.
It, is
over
it
a... resistance, fall of man?
No, I don't know about this.
Really?
Okay. So the Church of England is trying to force Sony to apologize for a particular level in Resistance Fall of Man. Apparently, there's a scene inside of a church in the game that
I think I know what it is.
That looks like Manchester Cathedral.
Oh, I think I know what this is. And you have to actually execute your wife because she doesn't bear male children?
Oof.
Oof. What?
I don't know about all that.
What? Henry VIII, Church of England.
Yeah, I know what you're...
Anyone watch the Tudors around here? Anybody? Is it just me? Thin little Henry VIII.
Anyway, so Resistance Fall of Man, probably one of the biggest releases for Sony's PS3 console. And they said that it would be virtually impossible to remove those scenes from the game because I guess there's more than one part in the game where you're in this cathedral type thing. But they're claiming that it's not supposed to be Manchester Cathedral per se. It's just supposed to be a rather old cathedral, and maybe perhaps it looks kind of like Manchester Cathedral.
Hmm.
But Church of England getting their panties in a bunch
Can they not get anyone to join the Church of England anymore that they have to start suing video game companies?
Apparently.
Find something to do, people.
I mean, really.
Well, look at all this good stuff. Look, Mouse Guard, Fall 1152. We talked about that.
Are you reading that?
I'm looking at it, yeah.
Well, don't
it's cool.
bust the spine because it's well, very
is
nice
this busting
shape.
The spine? The spine goes to at least 45, if not 90 degrees
just
before
saying,
it even
man.
Begins
I
to rupture.
I keep my stuff nice.
Okay. You do. Well, you do, as is evident by all the shit in here.
Yeah, exactly. That's all I have for the news segment. Do you want to take a little break and come back?
Actually, I just want to talk about this really quick. Gentle Giant, of course, does fantastic, tremendous, and otherwise important Star Wars work, and they're continuing their Star Wars Clone Wars bust-ups with Sassy Teen and Clone Trooper Army. So you get a fully armored bust-up of Sassy Teen, a formidable warrior and incredible pilot. Sassy Teen, this is the flavor text. Sassy Teen served as a member of the Jedi Council during the final years of the Republic. Teen was so in tune with his vessel that he had no need of a nav computer. He relied on the Force to instinctively astrogate his way through lightspeed. Really? Tin's piloting skills were put to the great use during the Clone Wars. Donning a customized armored spacesuit, Tin leaped into the debris-strewn vacuum between capital ships and his marines following close behind. So in the pack, you get Sassy Teen, and you get four of the animated-style clone troopers, two white, a red, and a blue arc trooper. So
I like the new packaging.
Yeah, it's
nice.
I
like that better than the cardboard box with the windows.
Right. Retails for about $20.
About
which
right
is,
for those.
Yeah. I mean, one, two, three. You're getting five in the bag, $4 a piece. Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
And it's nice. Nice little addition to your Star Wars bust-up collection. We know that things in fives are very good. So I approve that product.
You're
I approve. Also coming out this week from Gentle Giant, which I don't know if you're aware of or not, but I'm going to tell you, is the Boobo statue from Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yeah, I did hear about that.
The little mechanical owl from Clash of the Titans. He's about he's about 4 or 5
Yay,
inches
big.
He sits on a little branch, and he's cute. And that's kind of a movie that not a lot of people pay attention to, but, you know, that was quite the shit in 1980.
That was quite the shit.
That was one. I told you this. I wore out the VHS of Clash of the Titans that I had.
I know. I did the same thing with Flash Gordon, which I should remind people also, coming out this summer on DVD, special, a lot of features and things. Alex Ross cover art on the package, which will lead, of course, then into Biff Bang Pow. No?
Yes.
Is it Biff Bang Pow?
Yes.
Chicken will be putting out, of course, their Flash Gordon action figures. I want to encourage everyone out there to pick up Flash and Ming when they come out. They should be out like September, October. And they're also putting out their Big Lebowski action figures. And then sometime after that, some 12-inch stuff as well. This summer at San Diego Comic-Con, even before San Diego Comic-Con, you can get the Flash Gordon and Ming bobbleheads, which you should get. And they're going to have a San Diego exclusive, of course, because who doesn't, of the dude talking bobblehead.
Nice.
That will have many, many phrases directly from the movie.
Many, many.
Many, many. And it will be R-rated, so you actually need to be 17 to purchase it at the show. There'll be carding, I found out. Jason from Biff Bang Pow told me all of this.
Well, since you're talking about August DVD releases, I should just throw out there that August 27th, 2-disc Serenity Special Edition. Just saying.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Will it never end?
Reserve yours now. No! And it shouldn't end, you rap bastard fuck.
That's not what I mean. Will it never end with the whole 7-8 months after they put something out, they got to put out another version?
Well, Serenity didn't come out that... when did Serenity come out?
I'm going
DVD?
Broke.
Well, then stop buying so much shit.
I don't. How am I not going to buy that? Fantastic, anything?
Stan Lee's 85 years old.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. See? 20 Update. Minutes ago called. They want their answer.
Yeah, and I think there's something wrong with that computer because it don't work.
Just close all the pictures of the little girls. It's nothing.
Oh, I thought that was the
really,
wallpaper.
That's really funny. That's really funny.
Next.
Matt, it's time again for Big Apple Con in New York City.
That's right, Kev. June 23rd and 24th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion, Big Apple Con is coming back.
And this time around, they have some killer guests. A bunch of our favorites are going to be there as well, like Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Nice.
Captain Lou Albano, Jimmy Superfly Snuka, our friend Brian Harnois is going to be there, David Faustino from Married with Children, Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson, Larry Storch, the original Kramer, Kenny Kramer, David Harris from the Warriors, and many, many other, including tons of comic book professional artists and guests.
Including Walt Simonson, Saturday only.
In addition to these fabulous guests, you and I will be there.
It's true. We can't drag Fantastic to this one.
I don't know. I think Fantastic may make a special appearance one of these days this time around. Fantastic?
I don't know. When is this?
June 23rd and 24th at the Penn Plaza Pavilion from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m.
401 7th Avenue at 33rd Street right across from Madison Square Garden.
For more information, you can check it out at BigAppleCon.com.
Make it there, I'll make it. Anywhere, it's up to you. New York.
Hey, this is Yvonne Craig, TV's Batgirl, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And we're back with episode 61, The Return of the King. Booyah.
Who's the king again?
Me.
Oh, right. You sure about that?
King. I'm the king. See this crown?
Of New York?
King.
Good. Can we go?
Sure. What do you want to do?
I want to talk about these Transformers cards.
All right. Go ahead and talk about them.
So you know that we are big fans of the Pirates of the Spanish Main and subsequent sets.
Yes, despite
from WizKids.
Yeah, despite them, we're fans of them. Yeah,
right. And we want to be fans of that Star Wars game that they have coming out eventually,
I guess.
But Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast has taken the concept of the little cards that form a 3D game piece and used it to develop a Transformers game. So, similar to Pirates, single pack comes with enough to play. Comes with two robots, one Autobot, one Decepticon. You build them. The pieces are interchangeable, so you can change them from robot form to vehicle form.
Oodalali.
And it's, you know, it's pretty much about destroying your opponent. Now, some of it's kind of neat and some of it's kind of weak. Just the real basics, because I don't want to go too deep because I haven't actually played it yet. But your robot form and your vehicle form have two separate hit point numbers.
Okay.
That are not affected by each other. So, for example, if you take 10 damage in robot form, that doesn't affect any of the hit points that you have in vehicle form.
So they're kind of trying to force you into changing.
Yes. They're forcing you to transform. Now, you have different abilities and different things you can do in each form. There is ranged attack, short range, and long range.
Right.
I'm not quite sure how movement works, though, because it doesn't seem like there's any measure of movement. There's no real discussion about a game board or game space. So it really might just be nothing more than attack and not much strategy, at least for the initial launch. I think I'm going to have to actually play it a little bit, and then I'll get back to you. But I just wanted to mention the fact that it came out. You can find them now. Again, it's Wizards of the Coast and Hasbro that's putting them out. And check it out and let us know what you think.
All right.
What else do we have over there, sir?
Well, I think we need to mention the fact that something very exciting actually has come out from Marvel Select.
All the good stuff comes out from Marvel Select.
You lie. But there are good pieces that come from Marvel Select. Most notably, I think, recently is that...
Well, I mean, as compared to Hasbro.
Well, yes. But the Mephisto...
Was awesome.
That came out was awesome. Perfect.
Ghost Rider was pretty good, too.
I thought he was a little big.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just what I thought. And, well, a long, long time ago, we talked about Marvel Legends. We're going to be doing kind of the grunts... The soldiers of the Marvel Universe, if you will.
Right.
And they had planned a bunch, a Hydra soldier, an AIM soldier, a Skrull, and a Brood, and something else.
Some other stuff.
Oh, wasn't it like Hellfire
Club? Yeah, Hellfire Club.
Dude.
Yeah.
And
Doombot, I think, was in there, wasn't he?
Right. There was a whole bunch of ones that they
henchmen.
Were planning. Henchmen. Right, henchmen. They're planning on doing these, and they would have been like a second figure in the pack.
Right.
Maybe they would have had more limited articulation and stuff. But in an attempt to be, allow you to kind of build up your kind of thug army, if you will,
right.
for these sort of groups that have
thugs.
Armies. Yeah. And, of course, that idea was abandoned because some say costs. Some say the person running the line at that time was kind of a douchebag. Some people say, that last one a lot. And, but anyway, Marvel Select.
Kept us out of the showroom at Toy Fair.
Well, yeah. Marvel Select, however, has picked up the ball, has heard the cry of the people.
Good for you, Mike.
And, they have put out their first, and we don't know if it's the last.
Let's hope not.
They put out a 2-pack. Brood and Skrull.
Right.
So basically, it's one Brood,
one
generic
Skrull.
Brood soldier, and one generic Skrull. One Brood.
They're nice.
Looking bug, and the Skrull is a green dude with a gun. So.
I like the Skrull a lot. How does the Brood compare to that other Brood that came out? Didn't. With the smaller scale Marvel figures,
in the
wasn't
four
there
inch,
a Brood that
there
came
was
out?
A Brood that came out in the 4-inch
scale.
Wasn't he
really, really good?
He was good. I think this one is really good also. And what's important to note about the Brood coming out now at this particular point, well, many reasons. And the Skrull also. Let's take the Skrull first. The Skrull have been an important army in the Marvel Universe, important
for a long time.
Race, forever.
Right.
And, in the Fantastic Four line that came out last year, the year before, there was a Super Skrull. He had a bunch of variants. He was very popular. The fact that the collectors want these sort of army, it seems the right thing to do by the Skrull, by starting out with them.
Sure.
The Brood, very popular, especially in the X-Men, as a consistent army that they have fought in the past. But really what's important is in the next wave of Marvel Legends,
mm-hmm.
the Build-A-Figure is a Brood Queen.
Oh, okay. So that's nice.
So you get your Brood Army going, and you get the Brood Queen. I mean, that's got to make for a nice collection altogether.
Sure, if you just wanted to do maybe a little Brood
right.
thing.
So you get the two figures in the pack. They retail for, I don't know, $17, $18, $19
Yeah, somewhere
bucks.
Around that point.
It's pretty good. It's a good
yeah,
price.
Yeah, for two figures, it's not bad.
Oh, yeah, it's really good. And, they're done by Diamond Select Toys. You can check it out at DiamondSelectToys.com or a local comic book store near you.
Yeah, they also sell those at Hot Topic, Spencer's, Suncoast,
right.
Tower Records, that kind of thing.
I think it's also important to note that the actual Marvel Legends line may be based on the fact that Marvel Select is doing this, maybe just because they kind of are listening to people. I really hesitate to commit to that last one, but they are actually putting out a Hydra soldier.
Yes.
In either the next wave or the wave after that.
Let's hope for X-Babies.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for X-Babies, but I don't think it's
That's what
happen.
I want, X-Babies.
I want, I'll tell you what I want of those figures they didn't make. The Wild Child with the chain.
Right.
That goes with the Age of Apocalypse Sabretooth. What was the other one that we saw that we were like, oh my God, we have to have this? Oh, the Frog of Thunder.
Oh, the Frog of Thunder.
I mean, they got to do that at some point. They make a Thor figure every other line. I mean, they got to toss the frog in there, one of them. fucking PVC. Yeah, they include so much garbage with them as it is. Why not just
yeah,
toss
that's
that
really
in?
A figure that needs no articulation at all.
I'd take a second smaller character PVC or limited articulation piece over a Build-A-Figure for one wave or two waves or every other wave.
Yeah, something like that.
That'd I mean,
who nice.
The hell are they going to Brood Queen. They did the Blob. I mean, they really have that many supersized figures? They do Black Goliath.
Yeah.
You know, I guess. They haven't done him yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
They'll find someone. They always find someone.
I know. And you're like, oh, yeah, it's a good idea.
No.
Hmm. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
Diamond Select Toys, Brood Skrull 2-pack. I got two already.
Well, I saw.
I don't know. Preparing. Yeah, but I'm iffy. I'm iffy on whether to go to five.
I don't know if you need five. Maybe
Star
three.
Wars, I go to five.
I know, yeah, but Star Wars is special.
I know. I think maybe I'm just going to stick to two.
Okay.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Kind of Brood Queen, two guards.
Okay.
You know, kind of Super Skrull, two backup dudes.
We have two Tonner pieces to talk about tonight.
We do, in fact, have two awesome Tonner pieces to talk about tonight. And you know what? I get more excited about the Tonner stuff. The you know, the further we go along.
I'm pretty excited about the Tonner stuff we have. But really not what you have in your hand now. It's the other piece that we'll get to in a second.
Okay.
The much larger, you can't hold it in your hand piece.
So Tonner is continuing, of course, with their Harry Potter line and their
right.
DC Stars line.
Right.
Recently at their, what do you call it? I guess their Tonner's
convention.
Collector's convention,
yeah.
Which I think is called Fashion Fantasy.
Might be, yeah.
Fashion Fantasy is the Tonner Collectors Convention this past May 2007. And their exclusive there was Mera.
Ooh.
Yes. And Mera is a character.
Aquaman's chick.
It's his wife, right? Weren't
yeah.
they married at some point, Fantastic? I think Fantastic will let us know all about Mera. Of course, she is right in line with the other Wonder Woman and Supergirl, another beautiful DC character. She comes with a sequined suit with flippers. Yeah, I mean, she's a really beautiful piece. Another great piece by Tonner, obviously.
Now, to be completely and totally honest with you, and this isn't to knock the piece, because I do agree, I think it's a nice piece. I don't really care too much about Aquaman and the characters that support him. But from a collector's standpoint, Mera, the Aquaman piece, and then...
Well, you're just jumping right ahead. Can we concentrate on the one piece that we have before you jump? I know you're
what
excited.
What else do we have to say about it?
I know you're excited.
What else? We said she's
fantastic,
in green sequins
fantastic,
with flippers?
What?
Fantastic. What have you learned what? About the character of Mera in your investigations?
Yeah, she was the queen of underwater dimension world, and they got married and had a baby named Aqua Baby, and that was like in the 60s, I think somewhere around issue, what did I say, 18?
15?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting. And so Tonner, of course, has picked, I think, an interesting female character to go ahead and do in conjunction with the fact that they're going to be doing Aquaman.
Right.
Now, we've seen this Aquaman.
We have.
And he looks really good.
He does.
The outfit is very nice.
It's a classic Aquaman look.
Yeah, classic.
Say. Short
orange,
hair and orange
top,
and green.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, his hair is a little flowy. He got flowy hair.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like that ravaged hook-handed Aquaman that...
I was kind of hoping they'd do that because
they
just
came
a little
later.
You know what I mean? It's just a slightly different kind of take for Tonner going the hard edge route. But
not the
okay.
hard edge.
Okay, look, I know you've been chomping at the bit. Why don't you just go ahead and talk about it?
Aquaman and Mera are great, but together, combined with Storm, Aquaman Seahorse, they make an awesome display. Now, a Tonner figure is 18 inches, somewhere in that scale, 17 inches, somewhere in that scale.
18 inches.
So
yeah.
In order for them to have a Seahorse big enough for Aquaman to ride and display and be somewhat accurate to scale, it would have to be rather large, I would say.
I would say I agree.
How about 3 feet tall and purple.
Well, we're looking at him right now because we have been privileged enough to get the storm from Tonner, and this is stunning. This was their centerpiece for their convention on the tables. Less than 100 were made.
Right.
We were fortunate to get one, and we feel very fortunate and thankful to
have gotten one. Very fortunate. Thank you.
And they're going to be making a few of them available at San Diego Comic-Con, where they will also have some preliminary Aquamans and some Miras also available as exclusives.
He's got to be at least 3 feet
tall. He's got to be. And he looks fantastic along with this Aquaman figure.
He does. Aquaman riding. Oh, I should say that Storm comes with the Trident.
Oh, he does come with the Trident.
He comes with the Trident.
Ah.
And it's giant.
Right.
So it really, I think, will just make a nice display piece. Again, even if you're not overly appreciative of the characters, to have all three of them, to be able to display them in your collection, it definitely will stand out
amongst
anything else that you have, guaranteed.
Just by size alone.
Exactly. Just by scale. It is monstrous, but it's awesome.
Yeah, Tonner really is really going to the outer limits here to do some beautiful things with their DC properties.
Well, you know what? They're trying to take an angle that is slightly different than what has been done before.
Right.
By including a secondary character like Mira, who really is secondary in the DC verse, is pretty significant. But then to include Aquaman's mount.
Right.
That's pretty important. I mean, because even DC, you know, who has property and license to all of these, you know, outside of a few standard characters, they don't do a lot of these secondary and tertiary characters in this scale.
Right.
So that it's pretty important, I think. And kudos to Tana for doing such a good job.
And you know, we should say this was done especially for their convention. This is not a piece that's right. going to be available widely. If you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, you're a fan of Aquaman, you're definitely on that line at the Tonner booth to pick one of these up.
Oh, definitely.
Because it's just really something.
Ginormous.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, what we learned is that Tonner's other San Diego Comic-Con exclusive Ooh. Will be Draco Malfoy mm-hmm. as a Slytherin Seeker.
God damn it.
Yeah, that's kind of...
It's bad.
Yeah.
Because I want it.
He looks awesome, too.
You know what I fear most about that figure?
What?
Having to put the fucking shin guards on him again.
Yeah, man, that armor. Well, you don't know. Maybe they listened to what we said about that and did something about it this time around.
Hours it spent to put on those freaking shin guards on Harry.
That's true. But I think it will...
And little buckles.
Hey, listen.
Little piece of leather.
Draco Malfoy Slytherin is limited to only 100 pieces.
Oh, really? So he's very exclusive. Sir. Have they given a price point for him yet?
$159.
$159,
yeah. Yeah, I'm telling you, man.
How's it going, Tom? You listening?
Aquaman will be available from tonnerdirect.com in the fall, around fall or Christmas
okay.
time.
Oh, okay.
And
Mira as well? Oh, no, Mira was only
available
right?
at the convention. Only 300 were made, and there's a few of those, only a few of those going to be available at San Diego also.
Excellent. So you can get them if you really want them.
If you
just
really got to
be a
them,
big fan.
Yeah, you got to be
a
big fan.
With a deep
fan.
Pocket.
That's true.
But it's worth it.
It's worth it. These, I'll tell you what, that Aquaman, that Draco, these figures, they're worth $159.
Oh, sure.
Because they're perfectly representative right down to the last detail.
Sure.
Excellent. And you can pose them, and they're really Tonner character figures, the mark of quality, really, honestly.
It
coming
is...
such a long way in such a short period of time, they really have so much to be proud of.
It's true. I think we're going to take another quick break, and then we'll come back with the wrap-up.
Wow, that doesn't seem like a very long episode at all.
Oh, it was plenty long. You've just been away for a while. Maybe you've lost the feeling. You've lost the touch.
Oh, God, another spot?
Oh.
I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby. All
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com.
Is that the
URL? Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking page up!
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them! They're a sponsor of the show! You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated!
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay, go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you gotta respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba
that's... Johnny Blaze, no one has ever attempted such a distance before. 300 feet from field goal to field goal. What's going through your mind right now?
You look really good.
Hey, this is Ava Mendez from Ghost Rider, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Step.
Let's ride.
That was a funny episode.
That was a funny episode. But right now, we're back.
We
on
are
this
back
episode,
with this
episode. 61, The Return of the King.
Big King.
Big King.
Geek Stuff. Yeah. Big Kev, Mr. Fantastic,
it's been
other Geek Stuff crew member.
It's been a very...
OGC.
What's that?
OGC.
What's that all about?
That's me.
What's the whole...
We got an email that was addressed to Big Kev,
right,
Mr. Fantastic, and other Geek Stuff crew members.
Well, that's what you are.
You're a fucker.
Why am I a fucker? He's Mr. Fantastic. I'm Big Kev. You're other crew members.
You're lumping me in there with the likes of Paco.
Hey, there is no Paco.
Well, okay. You know, Paco's got some issues.
Paco, gone.
Did we fire Paco?
Paco is fired and back over the border.
Wow. Deported Paco.
I had Paco completely and utterly removed from our lives.
You embarrassed Paco a little bit first, but you know what happened.
Well, you know.
He deserved it. That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to get into anything. The only thing I'm upset about with regards to the Paco situation, there's still a few things to be sorted out. However, Paco did take the Twilight Turtle.
That bastard!
He took the Twilight Turtle out of the studio, and I didn't think that was fair. I think
that's really not very nice.
I think that Twilight Turtle should have not been taken.
I believe that Paco is in possession of property does not belong to him.
Wow, old school.
Sorry. What are we talking about tonight?
I don't even remember.
I'll start that.
Okay.
Warner Brothers is picking up the Terry Brooks Shannara books to make into a feature film.
Sword of, Stone of, House of.
Sean Connery will not be back in Indy 4.
Because I'm an old git.
Warner Brothers is also going to be doing Thundercats. Samuel L. Jackson is going to be in The Spirit. Some other movie-related stuff. Nothing too huge.
DC Comics will finally release League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, The Black Dossier, on October 24th with lots of special things attached. You should check it out.
Veronica Mars may be a comic book. Rest in peace, Mr. Wizard.
On DVD this week, Hellboy Animated Blood and Iron, as well as
Ghost Rider.
Right.
Widescreen, full screen, and special two-disc extended edition.
Because you want to see every bit of the shit and not miss any of it.
My skull feels like it's on fire, but I'm all right.
God, unbelievable. Mice Templar, coming to a store near you in late August or early September. 50-page issue number one for $3.99, coming from Mike Oeming. And I'm looking forward to it. I like mice with swords.
Well, there you go.
What can I say?
Obviously, the fall fashion catalog is not very interesting this year because Church of England is focusing on Sony and Resistance, Fall of Man, and some silly, silly requests for them to pull a cathedral from the game that looks like Manchester Cathedral.
Lots of really lovely and exciting exclusives.
Hasbro's.
Coming from San Diego Comic-Con. We've talked about a whole bunch, but we want to point out again that Hasbro, two Destros, Marvel Legends She-Hulk, Marvel Legends Stan Lee, Ralph McQuarrie Obi-Wan and Yoda, Alternator Rodimus Prime, Titanium Menasor, R2-K2, A My Little Pony, Battlestar 3-Pack. There's a veritable cornucopia of exclusives coming from them.
Cornucopia. I like that word.
You know what else I forgot when we were just talking about Hellboy Animated is that the second volume of the Hellboy Animated Digest book, The Judgment Bell, came out today.
Ooh!
Very exciting.
We talked about Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast putting out a Transformers constructible card game. Yeah.
Yeah.
We talked a little bit about Diamond Select putting out some henchmen pieces that we are enamored with and excited for the future, hopefully.
That they promised us when what's-his-name was in charge.
Well, that was Marvel Legends that promised
right.
us. This is Marvel Select Diamond putting them out now.
Uh-huh. Tonner character yes. figures once again impressing the crap out of us with
right
their... with their Mira from the DC Stars line and Storm, Aquaman's seahorse mount.
Brief feet, purple and pink.
Yeah, and a beautiful display stand. What a fabulous display for their Aquaman piece, which is coming out. Some of these will be available at the San Diego Comic-Con also, as well
Ooh,
as
Wally.
The Draco Malfoy Slytherin Seeker.
Friggin' shin guards.
And, yeah, Tonner is really turning on, man.
Yeah, man.
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 And I'm really excited to see where they go next. I know those Spider-Man pieces got to be almost ready to go and some other things.
I know where we're going next.
Where are we going?
Big Apple Con.
Big Apple Con. That's
June 23rd and 24th, Saturday and Sunday.
Well, come on down to Big Apple Con. Go to BigAppleCon.com. You can get the address, and then you can come on down,
and
hang out with us. And,
we'll be there both days.
Are we going to have any products for...
For us? We may.
We may?
We may. There's some, you know, maybe.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff product avalanche?
I'm not promising anything, but we're trying to get some stuff together.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Yeah.
And, of course, you can ask us about pretty much anything because we're just going to be sitting at the table just talking to everybody.
Chitter chat.
I hope we're next to Piper.
So do I. He's fun to sit next
to. I know. I like him a lot. Plus, I got that new
Piper piece to get signed.
To get signed. My collection. You realize I'm missing like three only now?
Wow. Did he beat the cancer or is he just in remission? Or
I don't know. I think I heard he's okay. He must be doing, at least decently to be out working the cons, right?
Maybe. I'd also like to quickly mention that we were going to have the Bad Mother Canucker on the show tonight to address the death of Mr. McMahon. But he is in deep mourning right now, and he may come back with us next week to discuss that.
Death of Mr. McMahon?
Don't you watch Raw? He blew up in his limousine on Monday.
Really?
He's dead.
I rather doubt that he's dead.
They haven't found the body yet, but they're presuming that he's dead.
Uh-huh.
And Bad Mother Canucker is torn up about it.
Well, maybe we'll get the Bad Mother Canucker. I know another old friend of ours that might make an appearance next week.
Retailer X.
Retailer X.
Ooh.
The rumor is Retailer X will be joining us to...
very exciting.
Give us his spin on things, if you will. Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 61, The Return of the King?
You guys want to go get some half-price sushi?
Ooh, there's something really nasty sounding about half-price sushi.
Remember, you can check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes. You can do a search for Geek Stuff and find us there. And
leave us a review.
Oh, yeah. Leave us a review. We got another new one or two up there this past week. So
are we doing that that YouTube thing still?
Yeah, we have some teasers up there on YouTube to try to get some new people in.
Okay.
It's like the first 6 or 7 minutes of each episode, you know.
You can check us out on MySpace, of course.
Of course. And drop us an email.
Yeah.
BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com. That's it.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip,
we don't want to go to war today. But the Lord of the Lashes has a way. Nay, nay, we're gonna march all day.
There's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right, left, right, left. Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right. A crack on the back says we're gonna fight. We're gonna march all day and night and more. For we are the slaves of the dark. There's a way, where there's a whip. There's a way, where there's a whip.
We don't want to go to war today, but the Lord of the Lashes has a way. Nay, nay, we're gonna march all day, all day, all day.
Where there's a whip, there's a way. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right.